My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Not going to give in to him with an open face. He walks him, he's not even concerned about it. He's not going to let the big man beat him. Eighth pitch coming.
High and deep and gone.
The big man beat him.
Yeah, he did. The big man beat him not once, but twice, in fact. That was Aaron Judge last night hitting his three-run homer to give the Yankees the lead. They would ultimately win the game. He'd hit another later on. That was Kruken Kipe, of course, on NBC Sports Bay Area, talking about Jordan Hicks not going to give in to Aaron Judge. As we welcome you in to Saturdays on the Game, Mark Randy, Evan Giddings with you here on 95.7 The Game. It was the Aaron Judge show at Oracle Park. His first game, Evan, in his career at Oracle Park, the team that he grew up rooting for, playing against them in San Francisco for the first time, and he hits not one, but two home runs, and he made Kruken Kipe kind of eat their words there a little bit with that first three-run shot.
Yeah, classic broadcaster's jinx, in my opinion. You don't poke the big fella unless you absolutely need to. And look, it was a heck of an at-bat, especially the first one. Hicks just got caught with a cement mixer and Judge made him pay. But that's why you give a guy 9 years and $360 million, like for those kinds of games, for those kinds of moments. And honestly, for those kind of months of May, what Aaron Judge has been doing to baseball the last 31 days has been absolutely ridiculous. And so I got to say, I'm just glad it's June. I'm just glad that it's June 1st and the Giants are finally going to play this guy and be able to pitch to this guy outside of a month, because hopefully he turns the faucet off.
Yeah, so he was incredible. He had three hits. Two of them were home runs. Three-run homer and a solo homer. Scored, of course, those two runs on those home runs. The three-run homer came in the third inning. Just got it over the left field fence at Oracle Park. And then he'd hit a solo shot later on in the sixth. The Yankees scored three runs in both the third and the sixth. Those are their six runs. They win 6-2. Giants did not get much going offensively against Marcus Stroman. And Evan, as we welcome everybody in here to Saturdays on the Game on 95.7 The Game, I'm with you until noon today. It's Grandy and Giddings with you. Shout out to New York Ken, although not New York Yankee Ken behind the glass.
Jersey Ken.
Yeah, Jersey Ken. Huh?
Bing bong.
There you go. Bing bong. Mets fan Ken. He can stay with it. Not a Yankee fan, a Mets fan. So he's good here on this Yankees and Giants conversation. As we welcome everybody in, it's hard, Evan, to not watch what Aaron Judge did last night and, you know, ask yourself, what if? What if the Giants did manage to get him to sign a contract with the San Francisco Giants now, what, nearly 18 months ago, when he was going through his free agency in the offseason leading into the 2023 season, when the Giants offered him that same 9-year, $360 million contract that the Yankees eventually offered him. The running theory is Aaron Judge potentially was just using the Giants to get that kind of money from the Yankees. If that was the plan, well, it worked perfectly. But watching the Giants struggle offensively, watching them struggle to hit home runs at Oracle Park, Evan, all year, and then watch Aaron Judge come in to the ballpark that he called, like his home as a kid, and watch him hit two, one to dead center and one to left field, where the Giants have struggled mightily to hit some balls over the fence. It's difficult for me as a Giants fan to not ask myself, what if? Imagine this dude in the orange and black. This team would have an entirely different feeling.
Well, especially after you hear him after the game say, it was close. When they asked him about that 2022 free agency, how close was it? Well, it was close. And we spoke to a couple people from New York yesterday. It feels like people from what we've seen on Twitter during that time and then beyond still feel like there was hesitation on the New York side of things. Aaron Boone also discussed it pregame yesterday. Like, it was a stressful 24, 36, 48 hours in New York when they thought that Judge might be leaving. Now, of course, there's the infamous tweet and the arson Judge and all the rest from John Heyman, which I think added to some of the, I don't know, kind of sullen feeling after he eventually decided to go back to the Bronx. I always felt like he was destined for New York. He was going to stay there. But the more that I've had time to reconsider it, it did feel like the Giants were right there. And I know that the Padres were a team that ended up, I think, the most money, but it felt like the Giants were a legitimate player for Aaron Judge. And it just, it was just running through my mind last night watching him hit. Like, that guy could be doing it in a Giants jersey. And I know a lot of people at the time were perhaps happy that they didn't, you know, give an albatross deal to a guy that's on the wrong side of 30 and, you know, a player that might not be able to be as productive on the tail end of his career as on the front. It doesn't matter. Like, those are the kinds of games that you pay $40 million a year for. Those are the kinds of at-bats that you want from your best player. And Aaron Judge is as captivating as any player in baseball, not because of his personality, but because of what he can do with a bat and what he did at Oracle Park last night.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really slow start to the season, was nowhere near his normal Aaron Judge self in April. But you look now at his season numbers and he's near the top of the league in almost every single category. You mentioned his month of May, 14 home runs in May alone, 12 doubles and 27 RBIs, 26 extra base hits are the most by any Yankees player in a month since Joe DiMaggio had 31 in July of 1937. It's like the last time you find a Yankee player who's had a more prolific slugging month than Aaron Judge in the month of May.
Wow, dude!
That is correct.
Jolton Joe.
It is incredible. Incredible what he's been able to do. A slow start, and then just 4 weeks go by and suddenly he's right where you would expect him to be. He's the first big leaguer to 20 home runs this season, had 18 entering last night, and then hit two, both off of Jordan Hicks. And look, Jordan Hicks wasn't terrible. I mean, he said it post game last night, you just got to tip your cap. He gives up four earned in 5 1/3. His defense did not help him out in the sixth inning, although he was a part of that as well, but there was a wild pitch or a pass ball, and then the throwing error back towards home plate, covering the plate. 2-run score on that one, in addition to the Judge solo homer. But if you're Jordan Hicks, you just made a couple of pitches and a hitter like Aaron Judge, Evan, you make those mistakes when he's this hot. More than likely, he's going to make you pay, and it's as simple as that. He made the Giants pay, and now they go into today's game trying to even up this series. You got Logan Webb on the bump. We can talk a little bit more about that as it goes on, but if we rewind to the Giants offseason 2022 leading into 2023, and I want to open up the phone lines for everyone, all those Giants fans out there, 888-957-9570. What was it like watching Aaron Judge in a Yankee uniform hitting two home runs at Oracle Park last night? Give us a call if you were at Oracle Park, by the way. Really want to hear from you. What was the environment like? Did you partake in the boos? Did you boo Aaron Judge? And what was it like after you booed him and then he went deep? Evan, I know you talked about a couple of guys you had on with Steiny and Guru yesterday. Evan McPherson from WFAN, the flagship for the Yankees in New York, when talking about booing Aaron Judge, he said, hey, don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. And he turns around and hits a home run. He's got a smile on his face as he's rounding the bases, thinking back to his childhood memories. I was going to say a fun moment. Interesting moment at Oracle Park, watching Aaron Judge respond to those boos in a way that only a slugger can.
Well, I definitely participated in boos last night, but it wasn't at the ballpark. But I would say that tonight, you got to keep booing Aaron Judge. Like, you have to. If you're going to boo someone, you boo them every time they come to home plate. I don't care how many home runs Aaron Judge hits this weekend. You continue to boo Aaron Judge. And yes, Keith McPherson of WFAN, big Yankees fan, came on yesterday and said, don't poke the bear. And it was mainly about how good Aaron Judge has been in the month of May.
God,
it was about how ridiculous he's swinging the bat right now. And to me, it has nothing to do with the boos. It has to do with, dude, you might just have to not give him a cookie. You might just have to not put the ball on a silver platter for this guy who is swinging the hottest bat in baseball. If I'm at the park tonight, and I think I might be, I think we're both going to go. Yeah. Going to try to get out there tomorrow too. If I'm sitting in the bleachers, thank you, Kent. I'm booing Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge. I am leaning all the way in on the boo birds. Welcome to San Francisco. And take your sorry ass and your $360 million with you.
Sorry ass.
Yeah.
I mean, his ass
that's what I'd be screaming from the bleachers.
His ass isn't that sorry right now. He's been awesome. He's now hitting .282 on the year, and that was after a very, very rough April. The thing is, if you boo a guy like that, and again, we want to hear from you guys, Giants fans, if you were at Oracle last night, if you're going tonight, it is a 7 o'clock start, not a 1 p.m. Saturday game, so make note of that. But you booing Aaron Judge again tonight. Did you boo him last night, and what was it like? How did Giants fans respond once he deposited not one but two balls over the fence at Oracle Park? Let us know, 888-957-9570. That's also the Xfinity mobile text line. You got to be careful, though, when you boo a guy like that.
Why?
Well, that's what Evan McPherson was talking about. Keith McPherson, sorry. Thinking of what, the Bengals kicker?
Yeah.
Evan McPherson?
He's on Mount Evanmore. Don't worry. Yeah.
Keith McPherson of WFAN, big Yankee fan, on with you guys yesterday. Don't poke the bear. When a guy is that hot, and it's a superstar, and he's got that, I don't know, connection to your team, and you boo him, you're almost asking for a little bit of embarrassment, because if he goes deep, you're kind of like, messed up here.
They booed Bryce Harper the entire Philly series, and he didn't have a hit until game three. I think it was like his third at bat. It is it is your job to boo the opposing best player. It is the opposing best player's job
to shut you up.
So I want to hear all 40,000, which I expect for a capacity crowd on a Saturday night in San Francisco at Oracle Park. I want to hear the boo birds out again. And I want to see if Aaron Judge can back up his performance against the number one starter against the Giants. These are the moments that make you want to watch baseball, that make you love watching baseball. Because it's not always going to happen where you got all these storylines and these big players and you're one against their one, and you got everything invested emotionally into these singular moments. It doesn't happen all the time. And that's why Giants fans are showing up at Oracle Park tonight. Let me hear you. I want to hear you boo. Boo the hell out of this man.
A 40,000.
He spurned you.
40,000. How many do you think will be Yankee fans? 10 or 15,000?
Maybe a little bit less. I don't feel like I heard a lot of Yankees fans last night.
I don't know. How many? Let's see. What was the attendance last night?
It was probably pretty high.
I was 35,000 last night.
I heard some Yankee fans last night when he was rounding the bases.
When they were up 6-2?
Yeah.
Well, he's the kind of player, and I think the same thing goes for Shohei, where a player of that caliber hits a homer, and whether or not you're a fan of that team or not, you all kind of like, like there is kind of that.
Let's go Yankees chant that the Giants are like, yeah, we're not having any part of this.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, especially the second one. I mean, the first one was a Linea, but the second one was just a no doubt blast to straightaway center. Talk about a guy that, you know, for all the talk about the ballpark being a big reason why sluggers don't want to come here and you can't court a big name position player. Aaron Judge makes that park look pretty small. Well, he makes any park look small, but specifically Oracle.
Yeah, and he was talking about Oracle. I can play it on my side here, Ken. Just make sure my pot's up on the board. Aaron Judge was talking about it last night. You know, you dream about moments like this when you're a kid growing up. Here's Aaron Judge talking about homering twice at Oracle Park.
Yeah, you dream about it in the backyard, you know, playing around a little bit. And you know, Kruk and Kipe, I've heard them for years call the games and, you know, hear all the homers that Barry hit here. So it's pretty cool. So I was happy we could come away with one.
Pretty cool. More from Aaron Judge talking about memories at Oracle.
Yeah, I think it was rounding the bases. I kind of looked out to left field and, you know, being out in those bleachers a couple times and just brought back some memories. But it's a special place. You know, grew up a Giants fan. You know, love coming to games out here. So pretty cool being on the opposite side, being on the field now.
Man, shut the hell up. Grew up a Giants fan.
Well, I did.
I know. I don't want to hear it. All right?
He had two suites worth of family members at the
I
game
don't
last
want
night.
To hear it, Aaron. Stuff it. Come on. God, watching him hit those home runs last night is just one of the most painful experiences that a Giants fan can have, because you were 18 months ago. You got the tweet that you'd been waiting for, kind of. Aaron Judge to the Giants. And then he gets ripped away from you. And what does he do? Opening day of last year against Logan Webb in the Bronx, goes deep in his first at-bat. I thought that was painful enough. Then he returns to Oracle Park. Actually, not returns. His first game at Oracle Park gets a hit in his first at-bat, although you could have called it an error. Then goes deep, three-run ding-dong, and then another solo homer to dead central. I am done with the Aaron Judge pain. Nothing can hurt me anymore, Aaron. I don't care that you were a Giants fan. I don't want to hear it from you anymore. I get it. You grew up in Linden, wherever the hell that is. I'm happy that you got your money. I'm happy you're still a Yankee, but I'm done with the Giants fan stuff. You can shove it, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I heard zero personality in that quote whatsoever, because he speaks with his bat. But I would say that the juxtaposition between the, I guess, you know, big bat free agent that was Aaron Judge, and then now the big bat free agent that the Giants got this offseason, it sucks watching one versus the other, because, I don't know, I mean, Jorge Soler probably is about 2 inches shorter than Judge. He's probably got 20 pounds on him, Aaron does. But watching Jorge Soler's average dip below 200 as Aaron Judge hits not one, but two home runs and essentially wins the game by himself to cap what has been a historic and spectacular month of May, that hurts, because you have thrown money at particular players to try and bring some sort of juice, some sort of power into this building, and that specific player or these set of players have not been able to do it. And the amount of home runs that the Giants have hit this year is a little alarming to me, especially when you're looking at the other side and this guy is going to hit a couple more this weekend. The Yankees might, and actually, in my opinion, they are the best team in baseball. And Aaron Judge is a massive reason why, because he is at the forefront right now of an offense that has probably the two best position players in the American League, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. However, the Giants, meanwhile, their offense is beginning to come back to earth a little bit. And it did around the time that Lamont Wade Jr. got hurt,
yeah,
begin to trickle off. But this is what happens when you run into big boys. You're going to have a couple of these games. So as much as it sucked to see Aaron Judge go yard twice last night, him talk about his fandom, him doing it in front of his home crowd, him doing it in front of his family, and doing it to Giants fans after essentially spitting in their face two off seasons ago, you come back and you win today, and you continue to boo the hell out of him. That's just what you do.
Oh, I think there's also some, I mean, you talk about Aaron Judge spurning the Giants and whatever. He's got to do whatever he wants to do, and I'm not holding that against him. I hate him talking about how he's a Giants fan. I don't know if he really, really cared about that stuff, he could have come here. But if you're the Giants and you're a year and a half ago, maybe you don't have as much information about it as you do now, but you referenced, I think, something that Greg Johnson, Giants chairman, said earlier this week to Tim Kawakami of the TK show, essentially using the ballpark, a pitcher's ballpark, as one of the main reasons why a number of prolific power hitters have turned down signing with the Giants. Bryce Harper, you could even go maybe even further, and Giancarlo Stanton before that, but Harper and Judge and Otani, Greg Johnson, chairman of the Giants, views the ballpark as a factor there. So if you have that, you know, kind of in the back of your mind, Evan, and you're trying to attract one of the most prolific sluggers in this era of baseball, you can't just
offer what everybody else is offering. The Giants offered 9 years, $360 million, and to their credit, they offered that before the Yankees did. Then the John Heyman arson judge tweet came down, and that probably frightened the Yankees enough that they said, all right, we're going to offer the same. And for Aaron Judge, that was enough. And I think that probably means that he was just waiting for that, and he was always going to go back to New York, assuming they got close to the Giants' offer. The Padres came in at the last second and offered more total money. They offered $400 million, but more years as well. So I think it was less average per year from the San Diego Padres. But, you know, if you're the Giants and you are operating from a position, Evan, of where you feel like a power hitter is already, you know, already has a negative disposition towards playing here, you have to make an offer that either the player just cannot refuse, or if they refuse, you know it's not because of the money. You know it's because of some other situation. You offer the kind of contract that a different team offered as well. Two other teams offered as well. And you're kind of left in a limbo where, oh, why did he not come here? We think it's the ballpark. Maybe he didn't want to ever be here. We don't know. If you offered, say, 10 years, $450 million instead of 9,360, and he turns you down, okay, at that point you say, all right, he just didn't want to be here. Didn't like the ballpark, loves New York, loves the Yankees, but the Giants have for years now kind of operated in this space where they think they're on a level playing field as these other big boys in MLB. And whether it's the ballpark, whether it's whatever reason, they're simply not when it comes to power hitters. You have to offer more than everybody else. And until you do that, and until they say no, we don't exactly know why power hitters don't want to come here.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. Number one, I don't think money was ever going to be the reason that they got it done with Judge. It was going to be his choice. And I also don't believe that the fandom thing matters whatsoever. Like, there are players on teams on the Giants that I know for a fact that did not grow up Giants fans. There are players on other teams that I know for a fact did not grow up fans of those teams. It has nothing to do with fandom. It has nothing to do with allegiance, as much as we love to make that a storyline. It does have to do with cold, hard cash. But when the difference is a couple of million dollars and you can choose to be comfortable in your city, you can choose to be, you know, a hitter that's going to have better numbers in certain spots. Like, Aaron Judge is a player that can hit a ball out of any ballpark, but a primary power alley for him is right center. And whereas the easiest place to hit a home run at Yankee Stadium, right center. Where's the most difficult place to hit a home run in San Francisco? Right center. Maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure. But I am with you that overpaying is something the Giants are going to have to do. Because take, I don't know, like the housing market, for example. There are more first-time buyers now than ever. That means that people that are buying a second home, well, it's going to be a little more difficult. You're going to have to offer up more because there's more competition. These guys and, you know, these first time home buyers are spending massive amounts of money more above market value. And so while you don't think it's fair, while you don't think you might be paying a proper price for your home, you're going to have to do it because the market dictates it. And right now the market is dictating that the San Francisco Giants will not be players for big name position players unless they overpay. And that means this offseason, if they want to acquire someone like Juan Soto, they're going to have to pay an exorbitant amount of money. It's why last offseason, why when I threw out $750 million for Ohtani, I feel like some people might have thought I was crazy, but I just took the best position player and the best pitcher and combined their salaries, 10 years, 75 per year, $750 million. That's what you give them. And he ended up getting 10 for 700. He may not have chosen the Giants in the first place, but that's kind of the math that you're forced into. It might not be, you know, a economic or, you know, on paper intelligent investment, but if you do make those kind of investments, or if you have a chance to, you might end up with a player like Aaron Judge that can hold the palm of your ballpark and your city in his hands in another team's uniform.
Yeah, and there's a very real chance that, you know, 7 years from now, when this Aaron Judge contract is about to expire, He's hitting like 212 and or maybe can barely stay healthy. Like that's a reality. And no one is saying that you're going to look back at the end of the contract and think he was worth every single penny at that last year of the contract. Like that's the way these things work. You know, the Los Angeles Angels, very famous for giving Albert Pujols a gigantic and long contract. And at the end of that contract, he was dealing with what, plantar fasciitis for years, and he could barely get on the field. And of course, that didn't really work out for the Angels because they'd never really won with him, and they had Mike Trout with him, and it never quite worked out. Like, that's the reality of these kind of contracts for these kinds of hitters. And you're right, Judge is not the spring chicken anymore. Juan Soto's a little bit of a different story because while he has still been in the league for a very long time, he is still in the prime of his career and has a number of really good years left. But the bottom line for the Giants is if you want a player of that caliber, and don't kid yourself, they desperately do. They would kill to have a player of that caliber. But the reality is, and I think this reality is finally hitting them, the reality is if you legitimately want to get one of those players on your team, you are at a little bit of a disadvantage. And I think the reason is relatively simple. I think it's the ballpark. There was all the talk this past offseason about, oh, the city of San Francisco, you know, the doom loop. No one wants to come here because of all of that. I'm not so sure that's what this is all about. I think it's the ballpark. If you're Aaron Judge, if you're Shohei Ohtani, if you're Bryce Harper, you're going to go where you can put up the best numbers. And as of right now, that is not Oracle Park. You had the weird year in 2021 when you were hitting home runs left and right and Buster Posey was going out to right field, as odd as that is. That happened randomly. But now it's kind of playing back to where it has the vast majority of its 25 years of existence now. The reality for the Giants is when you're going after a big power hitter, right-handed or left-handed, you're at a disadvantage, which means you have to offer more than everybody else. And if you do ultimately sign a guy like that, you might be dealing with headlines saying Giants overpay for blank. You're going to have to live with that if you want that guy. You don't have to get that guy. The Giants have proven they have won without that kind of hitter before. But if you do want that guy, which they do, you're going to have to overpay. It's as simple as that.
Well, I think it's less about the ballpark for me than it is about just the state of the franchise. And I know coming off of 22, they were closer to their 100 and, you know, plus win season. But still, I don't know how much faith there was league-wide in the direction of the Giants. There might be more league-wide faith in the direction of the Giants now just because of their younger players. So, yes, your numbers are inevitably going to dip. I mean, look at, you know, Juan Soto. The fact that he's hitting .311 right now in New York compared to 250 over his first year and a half in San Diego is not a coincidence. Like, he's still a damn good hitter, but he's not going to hit as well in San Diego as he is probably going to hit in New York. The fact that he hit 35 home runs last year as a Padre is just as impressive as anything else. So the ballpark does play somewhat of a factor, but I think it has to do with a larger place that the Giants are in, which is people don't know really what they're doing or what they've been doing for the last, say, 6 years in which they made the postseason once. I think players want to win. They want to be compensated and they want to be comfortable. And right now the Giants can only offer one of those three things. If you're looking at comfort, well, the city is kind of a comfortable place to be, but financially it's burdening. If you look at, I mean, right now compensation, that's the only thing they can offer. That's the only thing they can do is overpay. And then the third part of it, as far as the productivity on the field, like, or the competition, so to speak, is right now up in the air. They're a 500 baseball team. Can they move north of 500? I believe so. But in my opinion, I can expand further on the other side. I think it has to do with where the Giants are at, not necessarily where their ballpark's at.
Yeah, we can get into that, talk a little bit more about this Giants team as a whole, playing a lot better of late, but consecutive losses to close that Phillies series, now to open up this Yankees series. They're back to 500 at 29-29. They got Logan Webb going today, your ace against Cody Petit. He's on the bump for the Yankees. Second start of the season coming up there. So Giants fans should feel confident, I would imagine, with a Webb against Petit. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the Giants as a whole. That's coming up on the other side as Saturdays on the game continue. It's Evan and Grandy with you. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Don't want to hear it, Aaron. Stuff it. Come on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yeah, that's the thing about the classic home run hitters. I mean, their fly balls just go over the wall. I mean, they're just fly balls. Mere mortals, they're 30 feet short.
Ooh. I don't think this one's coming back either.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Mike Kruko's got to be careful of the broadcaster jinx whenever Aaron Judge is at the plate. That's twice. He was 2-for-2, or 0-for-2, I guess, depending on what side you're on. But the first home run that Judge hit, the 3-run shot in the third inning, he's talking about how Jordan Hicks on the bump, you know, he's not going to give in to him here. First and third, full count. You don't got to give him one. You don't got to groove one here. You know, you got an open base at second. Yeah, you don't want two runners in scoring position, but it's Aaron Judge at the plate coming off of or closing off the best month of his career. You know, you can nibble. You can try to find a corner. You don't need to give him one. And then the very next pitch, he gives him one, and Aaron Judge does not miss it. A laser beam over the left field fence, 3-1 Yankees. And then in the sixth inning, the highlight you just heard there, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, Kruko talking about how power hitters, you know, just any fly ball they hit seems to go to the warning track. For mere mortals, it's different. And then you hear the crack of the bat and another one over the fence to dead center this time. And that was more than enough for the Yankees. They win 6-2. But the broadcaster jinx, Evan, on full display last night from Mike Kruko on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Well, and good hitters will do that to broadcasters. They'll do it to good pitchers. They'll do it to pundits. They'll do it to people who are critical of them. They will shut them up, or they will make them eat their words. That's what they do. And in that way, he is not this player, but last night's performance was Barry Bonds-like. because he didn't say anything. He didn't incite the crowd. Wherever Barry Bonds went, he got booed. Now, for very different reasons, especially later in his career, but even early on, it's because he's the best player on his team. He's the most dangerous player on any field that he walks onto. Aaron Judge is in that kind of zone right now. And for him to walk to the plate, say pretty much nothing before, and as we heard in the first segment, nothing after the game, he spoke with a big stick. Like, that's what he did. That's what he does. He is a towering, impressive figure in the game of baseball, and right now there isn't a player as hot as him. Last night's performance was Barry Bonds-like. He's not Barry Bonds, but I think there were a lot of people that got that flashback as Giants fans watching him hit two home runs out of the park and basically winning the game by himself.
Yeah, I mean, they scored six runs. He drove in four of them. The Yankees only gave up two. So, I mean, the three-run homer that he hit in the third inning was enough. The Yankees did not need anything beyond that. They ride Marcus Stroman on the bump, who was really good through seven-plus innings. Giants struggled to get much going against him. And the Yankees win 6-2 to open up the series. Game two is tonight, 7:05 first pitch from Oracle Park. It's Logan Webb on the bump for the Giants against Cody Poteet for the Yankees, making just his second start of the season. So the Giants feel good about that, at least the pitching matchup. But you never know. The Yankees is, as you talked about, one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball. They've got a handful of really scary hitters. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are incredible. They've got a really great bullpen. While they don't necessarily have a top flight starter going today, there's a lot of talent around them, and Aaron Judge leads the way. Wouldn't say he called his shot by any means or anything like that, but I imagine when he steps up to the plate and he's hearing the boos and it's his first time at Oracle Park as a player, at least as a major league player. I think he talked about how he had some pre-draft stuff at Oracle Park when he was entering, you know, that era of his career post-college and pre-being a professional baseball player. But his first regular season baseball game at the professional ranks at Oracle Park, he's probably thinking, like, I want to shut these guys up. I want to hit one over the fence. So in that sense, kind of called the shot, Evan. You know who else called their own shot this week? It was Daryl the Guru Johnson, huh? Talking all week about how he's going to pop one over the fence at the 95-7 the game softball game. And after he had a rough beginning, he did. We were out there yesterday in the sunset. Great little ballpark. Shout out to Shasky for setting everything up. And Goo hit one over the fence to left field, huh? During BP.
He did, yeah. It was Judgian. It was a Judgian-like blast.
Judge pulled the Guru. That's what happened at Oracle Park last night.
Yeah, exactly. No, Daryl the Guru Johnson was swinging the softball bat with some authority after he got locked in. You know, first swing didn't go his way. That's when you got to bear down. And, yeah, it was, like, I had a lot of fun. And the fact that we got the turnout from pretty much the entire station, for those who've been kind of hearing about it throughout the week, all three shows were represented, producers, our social media team, some promotion staff was there, significant others, family members. It was a really nice, all-encompassing softball game that I think everyone had fun at. I mean, yeah, there was a couple injuries. I might have been one of them.
Oh, yeah. How's your shoulder doing?
It doesn't feel good. It feels out of socket right now. My left one feels out of socket. It's not from throwing. It's from swinging. And I've been feeling muscles that I have not felt in a long time. What about you, Ken?
Yeah, I thought it was going to feel a lot worse, but not too bad. But I tried to crow hop one from left field to home. Was not even close. But, yeah. Also want to talk about Bonte Hill. How about him diving deep for one?
Oh, my God. Both Goo and Bonte hit the dirt.
Tallest guys on the field just eating one.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Bonte was playing a left-handed second base, which you don't see too often.
Tough to do.
Really hard. You got to go in the hole, turn your backhand side. It's not a natural movement. And B hit the deck with some authority, just the way that Guru hit that baseball.
We appreciate the hustle, B. Hit the dirt. Everyone had a good laugh at his expense, but we loved you, B. That was a lot of fun.
Both of them still went to the game, by the way.
They did.
Our two representatives at Oracle Park last
night. Yeah, Goo was probably wearing his cowboy star shirt still, of course, too.
He managed to change back. I don't think he wanted to walk into the city with a Dallas star on. But he did have a lot of fun last night. Checked in with him. He had a good time.
Sports,
and we had a good time before the game, too. That might have also contributed to the first swing and miss. I felt bad that Goo had to walk right from the car to home plate, essentially, considering the pregame festivities.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. It was a lot of fun yesterday. It all led into the Giants game. Unfortunately, it wasn't as fun for the Giants at Oracle Park last night. It is Saturdays here on the game on 95.7. The game, Mark Randy and Evan Giddings with you until noon. Were you guys at Oracle Park last night? What was the reception like for Aaron Judge? Did you boo him? And what was the reaction once he went deep? Want to hear from you guys. 888-957-9570. We can talk about some things that Greg Johnson said earlier this week, chairman of the Giants, in a little bit. But I know last segment, Evan, we were talking about maybe reasons why Aaron Judge wouldn't necessarily want to come to the Giants. Maybe it was purely money. And if the money was even, he'd be a Yankee. Maybe it was ballpark related. Maybe it was situation related. And as it stands right now, Evan, you look at the last two seasons, or last season and this year so far, for each of these two teams. Specifically this year, the Yankees weren't terrible last year, and the Giants obviously were mediocre, and they were fighting for a playoff spot for much of that season, but fell off late. But as it currently stands right now, not much of a contest. This Yankee team is very deep. They've got a fearsome lineup. They haven't even had their ace available all season long, out all season up to this point. They got Nestor Cortez, and they've got Carlos Rodon, former Giant, but Garrett Cole's been out all year. They've got a hell of a bullpen. You got Aaron Judge. You got Juan Soto. Giancarlo Stanton isn't as good as he once was, but still a fearsome bat in that lineup. And you look at it compared to the Giants, and while the Giants have been playing a lot better lately, Evan, there's a pretty wide gulf between obviously the wins and losses, but the talent discrepancy on these two rosters is kind of wide right now. And you can understand if it was just about winning for Aaron Judge, that he feels the Yankees are get him closer to winning. And I don't think you can argue with that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the two rosters are extremely different. It doesn't mean that I don't think the Giants have a very good chance to win today's game. And in fact, the way that things are set up, I think they have a good chance to win the series if Blake Snell shows up tomorrow. So you want Logan Webb on the bump tonight. You want Blake Snell pitching in what is hopefully a rubber match tomorrow. That's kind of how you have to look at this thing. Like, yes, on paper, you're not better than the New York Yankees. I would argue on paper, no team right now is better than the New York Yankees. And I'm curious where people believe the biggest gap is, because it could be the offense. And I think that was on display last night with Aaron Judge. I think personally, Mark, to me, right now, the starting pitching staff, or the performance of the starting pitching staff, is where the widest gap has been, because you can make a case that the guy who's supposed to pitch today, Clark Schmidt, has been their second best pitcher this year. They already don't have their number one in Garrett Cole, and yet you still look at Luis Gil with a 1.99. You look at Rodon, who's got a 3.0 ERA. Marcus Stroman just went seven strong last night. Nasty Nestor, we're going to see on Sunday. This is still a Yankees team with a heavy set of horses on their starting pitching staff. And the Giants right now, I think, have the talent in that area. They're just not performing like it. So, you know, in regards to the gap, I think it was not a great first showing. However, you're coming off of winning 10 of 13. You just beat the best team in the NL, 2 out of 3. And now you're trying to figure out how you can get back into the series against the New York Yankees. So depending on the rest of the weekend, I think the Giants are still in decent shape. But if you're asking me to compare these two rosters, well, there's a reason that one team has 40 wins and the other team has 27.
Yeah, Yankees are 40-19 right now, second best record in baseball, only to the Phillies, who are 40-18. The Phillies have played one fewer game. The Yankees have one more loss than the Phillies do, but both teams sitting with 40 wins right now. That's a pretty tough homestand. You got the two best teams in baseball coming in. So far, you're 2-2. I came into this homestand, these six games, 3 against the Phillies, 3 against the Yankees, split. Go 3-3. Win one series, get one out of the other. That's all you got to do, and they've already won one series. Giants, it's up to you to win at least one of these next two games. You finish this six-game homestand against the two best teams in baseball, 3-3. I don't know how you feel, Evan, but I'll take that. 3-3 versus the Phillies and the Yankees. That's good enough for me. Those are two really, really good baseball teams, and you feel good about your chances to get that done today with Logan Webb.
I mean, I think it obviously depends on today. Like, if you win today, you absolutely want to get greedy. Like, you want to take Sunday. And I think that is also a message to not just your fans, but to the rest of baseball. Excuse me, that this is a Giants team that is looking to compete, that is looking to win. I looked at this homestand as a barometer homestand to see how far you are away. I feel like they're pretty close to the Phillies in some areas. The Yankees right now are also a team that is playing their best baseball. So the Giants might have peaked a little bit during their road trip at the beginning of the homestand. Okay, so if you're not playing your best baseball, if you're not posting runs the way you were over the last 10 games, well, how can you find ways to win? I think the walk-off 1-0 victory against Philly is a prime example of that. That's not a game that you're supposed to win. Throwing your bullpen against their number one pitcher, yeah, you still find a way to do it. So the Giants are not going to beat teams based purely off of talent. They're going to beat teams because they're better situationally. And that's where I do think a strength of this offense lies. They do have, I think, some feeling of spot hitting, like when they need hits, how to get guys, how to manufacture runs. I think that's an important part of this offense that has been a little understated throughout this stretch of May, which they went 15-13. It's nothing to necessarily write home about. But this is an offense that has been hitting nearly 300 over the last 2 weeks. They scored, I believe, the sixth most runs per game in the month of May. Like, so they've been posting runs. They've been able to put up runs. Now just, can you do it consistently against top flight competition? That's a question they have yet to answer, because they're going to have to, with teams like the Dodgers, and I'll throw even the Padres, who apparently are able to put up 11 hits in a single inning.
That was,
in their own division. So like that's where I would like to see them take their next step.
Yeah. Dodgers 36-23, first place in the West. Padres 31-29, 5.5 behind the Dodgers. Then the Giants a game behind the Padres, sitting at 529-29. A little bit of space between the Giants and who's up next. Arizona, the Diamondbacks, despite winning the National League last year, they're 25-32. They've been struggling. Corbin Carroll looks like an entirely different player from last year. Giants, you know, you're not out of the NL West race right now. It's more so because the Dodgers haven't been playing their best baseball either, despite the fact that they are still 36-23. You're 6.5 behind the Dodgers in the NL West as it stands right now. We can talk a little bit more about that and the pitching staff here in just a second, but let's get out to you guys who were at Oracle Park last night. I want to talk about the atmosphere, talk about booing Aaron Judge. What was it like once he went deep once, then you boo him again, he goes deep again.
Boo his ass.
Boo it and keep booing him. You got no choice but to keep doing that. 888-957-9570. Up first is Austin in San Jose. Austin, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game with Giddings and Grady. Hey. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Good morning, guys. Good show. Listen, I'm a casual baseball fan. I admit that up front. I went to the game last night with my wife, and we don't go to a lot of games. We went to one, of course, because the Yankees. And I got to say,
awesome.
the physical presence of Judge and some of the other Yankees, when you look at, I hate to say this, but this is the honest. They just have a certain feeling about them, man. And the difference physically, and I know that's not everything in sports, but just the physical aspect of looking at some of the Yankees and the Giants just strikes you as wow, you know. And then with Judge, man, I mean, the guy is just, I watched him in the outfield and I watched him at the plate. The guy is just smooth, man. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You can tell it's given, you know, God given. And when he hits the ball, you know, they always say it sounds different, and it sure as hell did. When he hit it out, and it was just beautiful to watch. I mean, I'm not a huge, and there were a lot of Yankee fans with their gear on, which was cool. It was a really cool atmosphere. I mean, I know the Giants didn't win, but I think the Giants, the Giants fans showed up. I mean, everybody was in their gear and everybody showed. I just think that we got to stop comparing. I think we just stop comparing Giants to teams like, to somebody like the Dodgers or the Yankees. Just let them be the Giants. I mean, you know, I think the comparisons are really not fair. You're not gonna compare yourself to Judge. The guy is a superstar, and he sure as hell performed last night. I enjoyed watching the two home runs, man. Even though I'm not a Yankee fan, it was sure fun to watch those two home runs, which were really spectacular. So I would say, man, Aaron Judge. They should have. Yeah, going back to the comment, obvious. They should have done everything and paid whatever the guy wanted to get him, because just his presence alone is worth the price of admission to me. I'm not all into all the stats like you guys are, but just the physical presence of the guy just makes it all worth it. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Austin. I think Austin speaks for a lot of, he said casual fans. I think he speaks for a lot of, you know, just people in this area. And I feel this way a little bit. I kind of don't like that I feel this way. But if you're a fan of sport, you know, you like to go out to games every once in a while. You're a baseball fan. Maybe you're not like die hard every breath you take. You know, you bleed orange and black, like all of that. Like if you are that kind of fan, first of all, I love you. That's how I've spent a lot of my life as well. But if you're kind of maybe a little bit more in the middle where, yeah, you support your local team, you just like to go out and see, you know, ball players, and you like to watch games and enjoy a beer with fans, get out there on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, get some garlic fries and hang out. Aaron Judge is the kind of attraction that you go out and see. And it's kind of what we were talking about earlier, where it doesn't necessarily get a reaction from just the Yankee fans. A guy like Aaron Judge steps to the plate and he hits one out. It's like kind of like Steph Curry in his prime, 2016, when he was the unanimous MVP. Everyone is out there an hour and a half before tip-off watching Steph Curry get his pregame work in. He hits a three in Washington, D.C., and the whole arena goes, ah, whoa, ah. It's the same thing with Aaron Judge. When he is in San Francisco, when he is in Kansas City, when he's in anywhere, it doesn't matter where he is, he hits one out and you get like kind of a universal wow reaction from guys wearing Yankee fans wearing Yankees jerseys from people wearing Giants jerseys. He's that kind of attraction, which is why he's so attractive to teams like the Giants trying to get him. And I get everything that Austin is saying. However, it kind of frustrates me a little bit, and I kind of feel what he's saying, but and I can't help it. I almost don't really like the fact that I feel this way, but I do feel that way about Aaron Judge. But as a Giants fan, I want to go to watch my team play and to root against those other stars, not to, you know, go and fingers crossed, oh, I hope Judge hits one tonight because I want to see it. Like, that sight is awesome. I might never get to see it. It's the first time he's ever been at Oracle Park. But that's just the kind of player that he is. He elicits that kind of response from fans. And when he's on your team, it's great. When he's not, you almost are rooting against your team for a moment to see something happen.
Well, there are players in all sports that are universally respected just across fan bases. Like, they might get vitriol thrown their way. They might get booed from time to time. But at the end of the day, I think most people are not going to tell you that they dislike the way Steph Curry plays basketball, or they dislike the way that, I don't know, you know, in football that you know, Patrick Mahomes throws a football. They might not like him because he beats their team all the time, and they might not like the fact that, I don't know, they might be inflated in some people's minds in terms of historic rankings and all the rest. But when you watch him play, you're right. Like, there is universal respect. And I think that that was something that applied last night to Aaron Judge. To Austin's point, he's a casual baseball fan. He and the wife are out of the game to have a good time. It's a fantastic place to watch any team play. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the Giants. And you're getting arguably the best show in sports in a Yankees team that is playing at their peak with the best hitter in the AL doing his thing. That right there is an attraction. Like, that right there is must-see entertainment. And so, yes, it sucks it's on the other side. I also have to imagine there were a lot of teams when Barry Bonds was playing for the Giants that were saying, wow, I wish we could have Barry Bonds. I wish we could have this guy on our team hit 73 home runs in a season. I wish we could watch a guy just clobber baseballs like he did in the Bronx halfway up the upper deck off Ted Lilly. Like, I bet there are tons of people that are saying, I wish that guy was on our team. So the shoes on the other foot in a sense, but because of the, I guess, closest of acquiring him, it hurts a little bit more in regards to Aaron Judge. I never felt like Judge was getting to the Giants, and to bring it full circle to 2024, you're not going to get a player like that, I believe, right now because of where the Giants are at. That doesn't mean that you can't beat them, though. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and Logan Webb can't shut up Aaron Judge tonight and strike him out or get him out a couple times. I believe that he should be booed tonight, while also being respected for what he did last night. I just feel like that's the experience you have as a fan. I mean, you root for your team, you root against the other team, but if the other team does something and they do it in a respectable manner, which Aaron Judge continues to do, well, then you just got to tip your cap, which is what I believe Jordan Hicks said last night after the game.
That's exactly what he said. Yeah, he made a couple of mistakes, and he's also a kind of hitter where even if you don't make a mistake, he can make you pay for a borderline pitch. And Aaron Judge turned around a couple of mistakes, hit two home runs, drove in four. Something else that Austin said, and you guys can join the conversation, 888-957-9570 with Saturdays on the Game with Evan and Grandy here on 95.7 The Game. Talking about how it's unfair to compare the Giants to teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees. And while I think it's understandable, and I agree with you, Austin, in the sense that, like, let's not expect the Giants right now to be as good as the Dodgers, to be as good as the Yankees. Dodgers came in and won 2 of 3 earlier. They swept the Giants in L.A. Giants are 1-5 against the Dodgers this year. As of right now, 0-1 against the Yankees. They're, 2-4 against the Phillies. You got swept by Philadelphia, or 2-5 against the Phillies, because you got swept at a four-gamer, and then you took 2 of 3 against the Phillies here at home. They have fallen short against the better teams in baseball. But if you're the San Francisco Giants, and you're a team that has one of the highest payrolls in baseball, you live in one of the biggest markets in the country, who else are you supposed to compare yourself to? Like, I get for this season, if we're talking about, the Dodgers are in town, they got Ohtani, and they got Betts, and they got Freeman, and Glasnow is a killer on the mound, and they just got Walker Buehler back. Like, that's a really good baseball team. And for me to say I think the Giants should be compared to them for this season, okay, like, yeah, they're not going to be as good as those teams. But from a larger sense, from an organizational standpoint, and from an expectation standpoint moving forward, from this team should be fighting for a playoff spot and for a division crown every single year, like, that's who you're comparing yourself to. You are on the level of the Dodgers, of the Yankees, of teams like that in terms of the pedigree that your franchise has. And there's a lot of Giants fans. I think Austin is hitting on something that a lot of Giants fans feel. It's almost like a sense of inferiority to those other great brands in Major League Baseball. The Giants should be and have for a long time been one of those top brands.
Well, I think attendance would point this season to them becoming or reemerging as a top brand or a place that is seen as a must-see attraction, because right now they're 8th in attendance. Last year they were in the teens. The last few years they've been in the teens since the pandemic. So I do think they're bringing fans back to the ballpark. I think it's a reflection of the investment from ownership, and I think it's also a result of them playing good baseball, or, you know, 500 baseball so far, but I think they're trending up. It's interesting though, because you bring up, like, the comparison to the Dodgers and the Yankees and, I don't know, whoever else you want to throw in, the Phillies, whatever. Yeah. Just because you don't have the talent on that team and you might not beat them head up doesn't mean you still can't be a good to great ball club. Take, for example, the team that won the World Series last year, the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. They went 4-9 in the regular season against the Houston Astros. They did not take a single series from their division rival, who was seen in many ways as like the AL West's Los Angeles Dodgers, with their level of competition and the amount of winning that they've done. They didn't take a series from the Braves. They didn't take a series from the Dodgers. Those were the best teams in baseball last year, and the Texas Rangers still won the World Series.
And now, they took on the Diamondbacks as well, who have a similar story out of the NL.
They also went 1-3 against the Diamondbacks in the regular season. So I'm not saying that the Giants are all of a sudden, because they're not performing well against, you know, good to great teams, can just turn the table the way the Rangers did. I think they're a very different roster, and the Rangers are constructed or were last year extremely differently. But it just goes to show, just because you don't defeat a team head up doesn't mean that if you're not playing your best baseball that you still can't be a competitive club and a postseason club, which is a place that I expect the Giants to be back in this season.
Yeah, I mean, with the expanded playoffs, the expanded wild card in Major League Baseball now, the Giants have it well within their grasp to make a postseason. And, you know, you could pull a Diamondbacks from last year. You just get hot at the right time. And this is certainly a pitching staff that, when fully healthy, I think is good enough to put fear in a lot of good teams in the National League. We can talk a little bit more about that. We got to take take a quick break. We've also got to dive into some Niners topics. George Kittle talking about how this is a win now year for the 49ers. That's coming up. Also, some off-season nuggets about the Golden State Warriors from Anthony Slater. We can dive into that as well. But more Giants on the other side. It's Giants and Yankees coming up tonight. Game two, Logan Webb is on the bump as the Giants try to even up the series against the Bronx Bombers. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take a quick break. It's Giddings and Grandy with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.